Today's shiur is dedicated for schus for refuah shleima, for shalom and bracha. Today's shiur is mesechta nedarim taf chav ches. We will begin be'ezer Hashem yizbarach on daf chav zayin amid beis at the bottom of the amid at the mishnah. Our parak had begun by telling us the various situations, the four nedarim that are halachically not considered valid nedarim. And the Gemara had the last of the four that have been mentioned are Nidrei Oinsim. Our Mishnah continues to discuss examples of Nidrei Oinsim. So says the Mishnah, Noidim Laharogim. If you have people who are Jewish, and they extort people, and not only do they extort people, but the people who they extort are in physical danger, they are ready to kill them. Noidim laharogim ulecharomim, people who steal money, ulemachsim, people who improperly take taxes from people. The Gemara Mitzvashem will explain in greater detail in Mitzvashem what does it mean. Don't we all have to pay taxes? And they say to them shehem truma, and they're ready to the produce that they're ready to extort, they tell them that it's truma and may not be eaten only to kohanim. And the Rishonim make an interesting observation. The observation they make is, here we're referring to individuals who are obviously quite dangerous and act in a very inappropriate manner. But if you tell them, and they're ready to murder, but if you tell them that this is truma, they'll back off. So Tosfos says that we see from here that the people, that there are different attitudes, and a person could have this terrible behavior that he's ready to murder and extort, but if you tell him it's truma, he wouldn't eat it. V'habdish enish a truma, and the halacha is you can make that true that this produce is truma when it actually is not truma. Or you can make another shehen shebeis hamelech, that this property that they want to take, this money they want to take from you, belongs to the king. Even though abish enin shebeis hamelech, the halacha is that even though they actually do not belong to the king, but they could, in order to get them away, the halacha is that you're allowed to. Here we're learning that a person, in order to save himself, the basic concept of our Mishnah obviously is that for one to save themselves, they're allowed to say, make a neder, a shvua, that something is truma or whatever, just to save themselves. There's a very interesting discussion here in the Sefer Chashukei Chemed, where we're learning what we have to do to preserve and save a Jewish life. He discusses a question where a tunnel the terrorist had dug in Israel that they should be able to infiltrate the country, had been discovered. And the question was, should they immediately destroy that tunnel before the terrorists could do any danger, or should they wait that till there will be more terrorists populating that tunnel and only then destroy it? And the question is, should we deal with the imminent danger that's here right now, or should we wait until we could do more effective way? So Chashukei Chemed discusses that there was a story during World War II where they had discovered that the Nazis were going to bomb a certain city. But if they would wait, they could discover more of the Nazi plans. And if they could wait till they discover more of the Nazi plans, they may be able to do greater damage with that intelligence to the Nazis. But of course, by waiting, what you do, you're putting the people that are going to be harmed, you cause that they should be harmed by you waiting. If you would have eliminated the terrorists right away, you wouldn't have that problem. So the Chashukei Chemed says that actually this question was posed to the British government, and the British government at that time decided to wait. The Cheshukei Chemed quotes a Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish discusses a case where there's an arrow going towards many people, and you could push that arrow, you could push that bomb towards one side, and by doing so, you'll only have one person killed versus a larger group. So the Chazon Ish suggests that you may be allowed to do it. Why? So he says there's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin discusses where people demanded of a city that they should hand over one person to be killed, and if not, they'll destroy the entire city. The halacha is that everybody should be allowed, the halacha is that they should all get killed, but we shouldn't give over one person. So he says it's not the exact same. Because when we actually hand over a person to be killed, we're actually participating in an act of murder. And the halacha is that we're not allowed to participate in the act of murder, even we're not allowed to participate in the act of murder, even though it's going to save other people. Here, where we're causing that this arrow or this bomb should go in one direction, that isn't an act of murder. That's actually an act of hatzalah, because we're trying to eliminate, we're trying to cause that there should be less damage than more damage. But it's not really the same, because there, the bomb is going. We could only help to manipulate that the bomb should go in one direction where it will affect less people than more people. But in our case, that a person where if we don't do something here and now, the terrorist, the city will be bombed, the terrorist could do that. We have no right, he says, that we have no right to not think about the situation of pikuach nefesh, even though by waiting for that, even though by doing so we have a very good intention. We have a chiyuv to do what we have to do. And actually, he quotes, and I think we might have spoken about the Shaila in some of our shiurim, where it was discovered that there was a truck that was discovered that it was delivering non-kosher meat to a kosher butcher shop. And there's real reason to be concerned, that that truck is also delivering meat as kosher to other butcher shops that are selling the non-kosher meat as kosher. So now we have the following dilemma. Should we immediately notify the people who are buying from the store that we know is receiving non-kosher meat as kosher meat, that we should notify all of them? But by exposing that, we will eliminate the ability of exposing all the other places that are doing so. Or should we wait till we expose all of these stores? So Rabbi Yosha Paskin, that the halacha requires that we have to do what we have to do. If right now we know there are people that are buying from a store that they're assuming are kosher, and that are assuming that are kosher but are really not kosher, so we have an obligation to notify them. I, by waiting, will be able to notify more people. It doesn't make a difference. We have to do what we have to do. And here too, if we have a situation where these terrorists can do serious damage, then we have to do whatever we have to do to stop that. I, by waiting, who knows what plans we'll be able to stop? That isn't our obligation. Our obligation is to do what the halacha requires us to do. Continues the Mishnah. B'shem Ha'im B'kol Nedrin. In all situations, like we've been discussing, a person can make a neder, whether, and the Rishonim point out, because explains the Mishnah uses the word bakal to teach us that any type of neder, you could say that it's kachi mizbeach or kachi bedekabayis, you could say whatever you have to need, chutz mi b'shvua. But what he says is that you can't make a shvua, because as we've been learning in our shiurim many times in our masechta, that the Torah is so concerned about Shavuos, and since the Torah takes Shavuos so very seriously. The halach is that when it comes to a Shavuah, we have no right. When it comes to a Shavuah, we have no right to be lenient. We still, I mean, again, because it's a situation of pikuach nefesh, that Basil says that we could do a shvuah as well. Beshamayim lo yiftach le b'neder. Beshamay says that I can't volunteer to make a neder. Only if the person who's trying to extort from me puts me into a corner can I say what I have to say. But I can't volunteer. Basilayim, they still disagree, and they say yiftach loy, I could eat af yiftach loy, I could be the one to volunteer to make a neder. Only what the person demanded that I say in a neder may I say, but I can't add anything more than what was asked for me to say. Basil says again, because of it's a situation of sakonas nefashos, I can add to the nether even more. I can add to the nether even more than was asked to me. Kaitzad, and the Mishnah illustrates. Amaloi, Amar, Karim Ishta Nenesli, make a nether that your wife will be also to you if what you're saying is not true. And this person who's trying to defend himself doesn't just say Kainam Ishti, he also adds Bonai. He also adds that he'll not have any benefit from his family, or Bonai Nenali, Beshamar Ishtimateras, because he was forced into making that nether. However, Bonavasurim, he had no right to make the nether regarding his children. It wasn't asked to him. Basilimrim, Elu Elu Matarim. Basil say that even though nobody even asked from him, the halach is that it's mutter. And the Rishash points out the Mishnah uses the words by Beisil Elu Elu Matarim, that it should not just be understood that he's allowed to do it with the Eved, but rather Beisil's opinion is Matarim even Lechatchila, they have every right to do so, what they need to do to save themselves. Ask the Gemara, as we've mentioned, that the Mishnah spoke about a case where somebody approached you for your taxes and you don't want to pay it, and could you make this nether that will help you avoid paying taxes? So ask the Gemara, but isn't the halacha, v'mishmul, don't we know that halacha is the din of the mechusadin, v'mishmul din of the mechusaduna, that we're obligated to follow the law of the land. So if the law of the land is that you have to pay taxes, why is it permitted to make it a shvua, a nether, to avoid paying taxes? So the Ran, in discussing the halacha of dinah mechusadina, says that the halacha of dinah mechusadina was only said by malchi of the kachavim, non-Jewish government outside of Eretz Yisrael, because those countries belong to the government, and since those countries belong to the government can make rules, and we're obligated to follow those rules. But in Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to the government. Eretz Yisrael belongs to all Jews. And since Eretz Yisrael belongs to all Jews, then we don't say Dina Machuse Dina. The Kesef Mishnah asks, if that's the case, so why didn't the Gemara, as we're going to see in a minute, answering the question, just say that our Mishnah is speaking in Eretz Yisrael? And therefore, the Kesef Mishnah says that even in Eretz Yisrael, of course, there's halacha of Dina Machuse Dina. And he wants to differentiate, as we're going to see in the Gemara, a country that has a duly elected, appointed government, we're all obligated to follow the law of the land. And that would apply in Eretz Yisrael as well. But here, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chinana, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Shmuel, we're talking about a muchas she'en le'kitzva. That means that the government told him to take a certain amount for taxes, and he takes more than he's allowed to. Or, as I saw another pshat, he doesn't take, if there's a flat tax rate that everybody has to pay the same amount, then we are obligated to follow the law of the land. Here we're talking about a situation, but he doesn't take from everybody the same amount. So that's not a fair tax system. Since that's not a fair tax system, then the halacha is that you don't have to pay those taxes. The Rebbe Yani Amar, he gives a different teretz. Muchas ha'imid eilav. If there was a quarter, if there's an individual or an agency that was appointed by the king, then of course the halacha is that we have to follow the law of the land. Here we're talking about a person because of his position or wherever he appointed himself. That's there. We don't say dinan machuse dinai. The continues the Gemara. Before we go further, to talk about this concept of dinan de machuse dinam, as we just explained, based on the rule of dinan machuse dinam, that's why we have to follow the law of the land. And as long as the tax system is a fair tax system and it doesn't single out Jews versus other people, that everybody has the same rules, then the halacha is that we have to pay taxes, we have to pay land of the law. And he says that even, says the Sefer Pesachei Choshen from Rabbi Yaakov Blau, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, where the tax system in Israel, since we all benefiting from the taxes, even if we think that they're not being administered fairly, it did in the Mechusa Dina, the halacha is that we have to follow the law of the land under all circumstances. And it's not only, obviously, for paying taxes, but I saw for all rules of the country, traffic laws, or any other law that a country should have, the halacha is that everybody in the country, Jewish or not, has to follow those laws. The Yisrach Moshe has a beautiful pshat in this concept of Dinah Mechusa Dinah. He says, the Pasuk says, when Paroi called Shifra and Pua to carry out the law, his rule that all Jewish children should be thrown into the sea, the Pasuk says, V'yom ha'melech l'mitz'yaldus avriyus. The Pasuk says, the king of Mitzrayim spoke to them. The Pasuk continues calling him, V'yikra melech Mitzrayim l'mitz'yaldus. But then when they respond to him, the Pasuk says, V'tomarnu ha'mitz'yaldus al paroi. So the question is, why, when he calls them, does the Pasuk call him melech Mitzrayim? And why, when they respond to him, is he called paroi? Also, the answer that they gave Paroi is Kiloi Kenoshim Hamitzrius Hevrius, that the Jewish women are not like the Jewish Egyptian women. Ki Chayus Heina. Pasuk Pshat Ki Chayus Heina means that they give they give birth very quickly before we could get there and do what you want us to do. So the question he asks again is, why does it have to compare the Jewish women to the non-Jewish women? All that was important to say was that the Jewish women have their children very quickly. And since the Jewish women have their children so very quickly, we don't have the opportunity to do anything. So, explains the Yisrach Moshe, as we've been saying, that even though we've been learning that there's a halacha of Dina de Machusa Dina, and we have to follow the law of the land, that's only when the law is being administered fairly and equally both to non-Jews and non-Jews. But if they're singling out Jews, then there is no rule of Dinah Mechusei Dinah. And that's exactly, explains the Yisrach Moshe, what the Miyaldois meant to tell Paroi. They said, Kiloi Kenoshim Hamitzrius Ha'evrius. We don't have to follow your decree. The reason we don't have to follow the decree is because you're not treating the Jewish women and non-Jewish women the same way. And therefore, it's not to be considered dina de machusa dina. And now, that's exactly was the debate, he explains, between Paroi. Paroi says, I am Melech Mitzrayim. And since I am Melech Mitzrayim, and I have decreed that all Jewish boys should be thrown into the sea, you have to follow my rule. They responded to him that Paroi, you're not the king. We're not recognizing in this conversation that you're the Melech Mitzrayim. Because were you the Melech Mitzrayim, we would only have to follow your decree if you're treating everybody equally. But you aren't treating everybody equally. And therefore, Kalai Mitzrayos Ha'ivrayos. Paroi recognized at that point, says the Yitzchak Moshe, the strength of their claim. And because he recognized the strength of their claim, the pasuk continues to say, V'yitzav l'chol amai. And Rashi in Divrei Maskil Kol explains, he called everybody together, and he said that this rule will apply to Jews and non-Jews. Why did he make the rule to apply to non-Jews now as well? Because he realized that the Mialdos of Rios had a very valid and strong claim. And in order for them to not have that claim, the only way he knew that they could avoid that claim is by Yitzav L'chol Amoy, that everybody's going to have to do what Paris, everybody's going to have to throw their boys into the river, and therefore you don't have a claim, and there they have to do because of Dina Namachus Adina. We learned in the Mishnah that one may make a nether, that these assets that want to be extorted, Shehen Shebeis HaMelech, they belong to the king, Abish Enish Shebeis HaMelech, they don't belong. So ask the Gemara, Heichinod, exactly what was the nether here? Because to say that the nether is Shehen Shebeis HaMelech is not a nether. Because the definition of a nether is that you say that something should be Osir or Mutter. That's not by saying a nether that this belongs to the king. That isn't what we've been learning in our Masechta is meant to be a nether. Says the Gemara, answers the Gemara. Amr of Amram, Amram of Amram, but Omer, the nether was that they said, somebody said, you also pay Sa'ilam Alai, that the fruits of the world should be also to me, if it's not that this asset, the Menin Shebeis HaMelech, that this asset belongs to the king. Answers the Gemara, Kim Da'amah Yasru, but ask the Gemara, the moment they said that all the fruits of the world should become Asr, it's Surah Elei Kabeher Da'amah. So we have here a very valid nether that was accepted upon themselves that all the fruit of the world should be Asr. So how can we allow somebody to violate the nether? Answers the Gemara, Ba'aymer Hayoyim. They didn't say that the nether should be forever. They only said Hayoyim. And since they only said Hayoyim, that's why it's not such a big problem. Ask the Gemara, but if I want to protect myself, and the way I protect myself is by saying this type of a nether, by saying that the fruits of the world will be also to me, if it's not that this asset belongs to the king, so the person who's tried to extort me is not going to be very impressed by that nether. Ida Amr Hayoy Lamakabam Nuchas Mene Muchas, says the Gemara, but I'm a Belibai Bi Hayoy. In your mind and in your heart, you say that I only want this nether to be for today, but when you actually express the nether, you don't say Hayoyim. But Maitzi Piv, you say Stam. And continues the Gemara, that shouldn't be acceptable, because what I think cannot really make a difference if what I express, what I articulated, is different, says the Gemara. Here it's not that way. Because I've got the Sfirlon, even though all over in Halacha we know the rule is Dvarim Shebelev, Einem Dvarim, and what I think is not, and not doesn't count, it's what I say that counts, Lagabi Einsin Shani. Because here it's a Nidri Einsin, and therefore when we're dealing with a situation of Divrei Einsin, the Halacha is that we're not concerned of with Dvarim Shebelev, Einem Dvarim. So the Ritva explains that with a concept that we've learned many times in our shiurim, when there's an umdad in the muchach, where it's obvious that what is happening here is what's happening, it's obvious that the only reason I'm making this nether and the only reason I'm saying this nether is because I need to avoid the problem that this person is doing. So it's obvious that my nether was not meant sincerely. It's obvious that even though the wording of my nether seems to be that I should be also forever, that is not the concern when it's in situation of Einsim. And the Miri expounds on this point. The Miri says, this person is only making the nether not because he wants to make the neder. So when somebody wants to make a neder, so then the halacha, as we've learned so many times in this mesechta, the halacha demands that we follow what you say, not what you think. Here, the entire neder is only being made in reaction to the circumstances that I find myself in. Since they're only being made in reaction to the circumstances that I find myself in, there we could rely on the concept of Dvarim Shebelev, that we should take into consideration, the Dvarim Shebelev. So there's a very interesting shaila here too that the Sefer Chashuki Chema discusses. He says there was a boy in yeshiva who had difficulty to get up in the morning on time to come to davening. And one time, he says, one time his Rebbe got very upset. He says that a person made a neder, and he said to his Talmud that if tomorrow morning you're going to come to yeshiva, if you're going to come to davening on time, then I will give you a serious prize. And what happened was the next morning, it's not certain that he would have come to daven. But what happened was the story took place in Israel, and there was a alarm went off. Because the alarm went off, everybody got up, everybody had to run to the miklat, to the shelter, and this boy woke up on time. So now he approaches the Rebbe, and he says, I got up on time. I'm deserving whatever prize had been promised to me. And the Rebbe says that I know that you only woke up in time not because you were going to wake up in time. You woke up in time because of the alarm. And the question is, does he have to give the prize or not? On one hand, we could say that as we just said, that's obvious that he only has to that he got up because of the alarm, not because he was sincere to come on time to davening. On the other hand, a deal is a deal is a deal. So the Chashuki Chemed says it depends how the neder was expressed. If the neder was expressed in tokim letfila, if you'll get up for davening on time, then I'll give you whatever money he had promised. So then he wouldn't have to pay him. Because this person, this boy, did not get up for tefillah. He got up for an alarm. And therefore, he's not entitled to get the prize. But if the neder was said, im okum, that if you'll get up, we'll give you the prize, even though there's a strong reason to believe that he only got up because of the siren, not because of his neder, but as we're learning in our Masechta, it's very difficult to accept accept anything in a neder other than what was said explicitly. And here it was said explicitly that that if you get up, you get a prize. He kept that deal, and he quotes Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who said that you would have to pay him. B'Shama Emre, we learned in the Mishnah, that B'Shama Emre B'Kol, you can always make a neder, but you can't make a shvuah under these circumstances. Beis Hillel said that you can make even a shvuah under these circumstances. Furthermore, we learned that B'Shama Emre B'Mashim Hidiroi, you can only respond to what you are told. The person is requiring you to make a neder to protect your position. Only what he told you have to do may you say, nothing more. Beis Hillel Emre B'Mashim Hidiroi. And as we learned in the Mishnah, Ketzad, Oimeloi, you make a neder that what you're saying is not true, your wife will become also to you. And he says, he says, not only my wife, but even my children. His wife will be mutter or bar of asurim, because who asked you to talk about your children? This is a different version, that you're not allowed to volunteer a shvuah. V'sel amrim af yiftach loy b'shvuah. Says the Gemara, l'bei shami b'shvuah de lo yiftach loy. So it seems that we have the following diyuk, that you're not allowed to start with a shvuah. Have a neder, yiftach loy. That you're allowed to volunteer a neder. Ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that that is the opinion of Beis Shammai. For Tanan, have we not learned explicitly in our Mishnah? Beis Shammai, lo yiftach leib a neder. They're not allowed to volunteer even a neder. Vesu, it says, it seems that Beis Shammai's opinion is that you're not allowed to volunteer a shvuah. But if you were requested to make a shvuah, Beis Shammai would agree that you would be allowed to do so. But we learned in our Mishnah, answers the Gemara, v'atanan, that Beis Shammai, even when you were required to make a neder, even when you were required to make a neder, Noidrin, we call Noidrin, Beis Shammai says you could only make a neder, but you can't make a shvuah. Says the Gemara, according to Beis Shammai, the pshat that we learned in the Mishnah is as we learned in the Mishnah. According to Beis Shammai, you may never make a shvuah. According to Beis Shammai, you may never volunteer a neder. And the way to understand the Mishnah and the Brice is as follows. Tana Masnisim a neder. A Mishnah is coming to teach us the halacha of nedarim. A Mishnah is teaching us that the yachad koichin the Beis Shammai. That not only the Beis Shammai hold that you may make a neder under certain circumstances, but you may never initiate the neder. But Tana Brice b'shvua, and to teach us, so in other words, the Mishnah is coming to teach us the strength, how machmer Beis Shammai is, that a shvua is never permitted, and even a neder is only permitted if you were required with the exact wording of the neder, but you can't volunteer to make a neder. Tana Brice b'shvua to teach us the idea of the Beis Hillel, that teaches how lenient Beis Hillel is, that not only are you allowed to make a shvua, but you're allowed to even volunteer a shvua. That's how lenient Beis Hillel is. So, of course, the Rosh asks, the Brice is very understandable, because we have a rule, b'chol shas, koyech da teira odif. We always want to expound on the lenient position, which is exactly what the Brice is teaching us. The Beis Hillel is allowing us not only to make a shvua, but even to initiate a shvua. But according to this explanation that we just gave here, the Mishnah is coming to teach us how machmer Beis Hillel is. So if the Mishnah is coming to teach us how machmer Beis Shammai is, that's contrary to the concept of Koyach Da Teira Odif. So Rosh explains, the way we need to understand this Gemara is that the Mishnah and the Braisa are traveling together. It's not that we have a Mishnah that's teaching us Chumris and the Braisa is teaching us Kulis. The Mishnah and the Braisa were taught together, and they're reflecting how lenient Beis Hillel is and how strict Beis Shammai is. Rav Ashi has a different interpretation. Hach Ketani. What the Braisa means to say is Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Sheil B'Shvua. That the way we've learned, and we will continue learning many times, the halachas of Hataras Nedarim, tells us Beis Shammai that only by Nedarim there is a concept of Hataras Nedarim. But when we're talking about Shvuas, since Shvuas are more chamer, there's no concept of Hataras Nedarim Beis Shvua. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel disagree, and the Beis Hillel agree, Yesh Shaila B'Shvua, that just like there's a concept of Hataras Nedarim, certainly there's also a concept of Hataras Shvuas. And as I sort of was showing and point out, everybody agrees, the Ran says this, everybody agrees that Midoraisa, just like there's a concept of Hataras Nedarim, there is a concept of Hataras Shvuas. The Machlokes that we're learning here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only Midrabonin. Beis Shammai says the Midrabonin Chazal instituted that you should be no Hataras Nedarim by Shvuas. Beis Hillel disagrees. Our Mishnah goes back to talk to what we learned earlier in a Masechta. Different situations of Nidrei Oynes. Says the Mishnah, somebody sees a terrible hurricane approaching, and he knows, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, where he anticipates that all of the trees will be uprooted. And he makes the following nether. Harei natias halalu carbon. These natias should be a carbon and an exosis. He's saying that he's going to bring from these trees from their value a carbon if Hashem helps and they're not cut off. Or there's a fire, chas v'sholem, and he's concerned that everything he owns is going to get burned. So he makes the following nether. He says, talazu carbon, I'm going to donate the value of this talis, imenuk nisrafis, if Hashem saves it and doesn't get burned. The halach is, yesh lan tiyas, the pigeon. Many times when something has a kedushas haguf, that it has an inherent kedusha, the halach is that you can't redeem it. These can be redeemed. Continues the Mishnah. But if he announced, harein the tiyas halalu carbon, these trees should be carbon, atshik tzutzu. That means the kedusha should be forever until they're cut off. Or he says, talzu carbon, this tal should have the kedusha of a carbon, atshik tzutzu, until it is burnt. In these cases, alien and pigeon. And even if, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, even if they're going to be redeemed, they're going to automatically become kaddish again. Because he said, he declared, until they're cut, they're going to be kaddish. So if you redeem it, but you didn't cut it, the kedusha comes right back. Our Mishnah discusses cases where somebody makes a neder because of an impending danger. And I saw the Chashuki Chemed discusses a very interesting discussion. He says there were passengers on a plane together with the Panovich Rav Zatzal, and in the middle of the flight, the pilot gets on the microphone and he says that I just discovered there's a terrible problem with the engine, and I just want everybody to know that there's a real danger, there's a real imminent danger to all of us who are here on the plane. All of the passengers, certainly all the Jewish passengers, turned around to the Panovich Rav, who was on the plane, and the Panovich Rav said that I tell you that if you will be that if you will donate money to the yeshiva, you have nothing to worry about. And they all went and donated money. They donated money to the yeshiva. And then the pilot gets on and he says that what I said was incorrect and there was really never a problem and we're all fine. And not a question that is discussed by the Chashuki Chemed, would the people, are they obligated to keep their nether? Because the nether really was only made under the assumption that they're having this terrible problem. But Baruch Hashem, that it wasn't true. So what will be the halacha? Is that considered a nether that was made under false pretenses? So he says, our Gemara is the proof. The Mishnah speaks about a case where there's an impending danger. Everybody made the nether because of the impending danger, but nothing happened. So we see that even though nothing happened, the halacha is that you have to follow it. Another reason goes back to something that we've been discussing throughout our shiur. This that they're saying, well, we only made the nether because we thought there was a danger and there really wasn't a danger, is a dvarim shebelev. And dvarim shebelev is not considered a nether. Another reason why it's considered a nether is because the halacha is that even though nedarim, as we've been learning throughout our perek, are something that we need to be concerned about, and if it's a nedri tos and nedri shagig, all these various nedarim that we've been speaking about, the halacha takes a much more lenient approach. That's not on a nedar for tzedakah. The halacha is much stricter when it comes to nedri tzedakah. And this is nedri tzedakah, and therefore here, because it's a situation of nedri tzedakah, one can't just say, well, it was made by mistake, and the halacha is that you have to keep it. Which opens up another shaila, and that is, if somebody gives the remark in Yerideya, Simon Reish Chof, Sif Tezvav discusses, Haima etin selat tzedakah, I'm donating money to tzedakah, k'day sheyichye b'ni. And he says, v'm lo yichye lo yeitim, but if he won't survive, then I won't have to give. The halacha is, if the child doesn't survive, you don't have to give the tzedakah. But the Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim Sim Tuf Kof Sanach Tes, Sif Aleph says, that's only when somebody was very clear in saying that if what I'm giving the tzedakah for doesn't happen, I'm not going to be obligated to give that tzedakah. But if somebody gave tzedakah And even though he gave the tzedakah for a specific purpose, and unfortunately the reason he gave the tzedakah doesn't come to fruition, once you take upon yourself the obligation to give tzedakah, if you did not attach any condition to it, you're obligated to follow what you said, even though the purpose of what you gave it for is no longer there. Ask the Gemara, why did the Mishnah say yesh lem pidyon? In the first case of the Mishnah, but listen, Kedoshis. The Mishnah Shijev said that the Hegdish, and the halacha is that by all Hegdish, we can redeem Hegdish. So why didn't the Mishnah say that? And similarly, in the second part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah taught us that the halacha is that they can't be redeemed, why did the Mishnah say the wording of Ein Lam Pidyon? The Mishnah should have said Ein Kedoshis. Answers the Gemara. I did the Baal Mishnah because, as we learned in the second part of the Mishnah, the Mishnah wants to teach us Ein Lam Pidyon. We wanted to teach us that not only are they kadosh, but since you said, as we explained, Achiyiktatsu, then until they're cut, they remain kadosh. And therefore, we said that even were you to redeem it, it would be meaningless because it would become kadosh immediately again. That's why Tadanami Bereisha, the Mishnah in the Reisha also uses the wording Yesh Lam Pidyon, even though it was not necessary. It could have just said Kedoshes. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Nader, exactly how was the Nader expressed? Answers the Gemara, Amar Meimer. Ba'omer, somebody says, Harei Netilos El Carbon. These Netilos should be treated like a carbon. Im Eina Niktetsa Sayoyim. So since he attached the condition, we could see what will happen. And therefore, over hayoyim, if the day passed by, and they didn't get cut off, so the condition, they weren't uprooted, the condition was met, and that's why the hegdish. Says the Gemara, im kain, if that's the case of our Mishnah, where a person was very clear in the neder that he made, that he said that that they should have a din of kedusha if they're not uprooted today. And Baruch Hashem, they were uprooted today. They were not uprooted today. So of course they're kedushas. Why did the Mishnah have to tell us this halacha? Pshita, that under these circumstances, the hegdish. Answers more like tzricha. Our Mishnah speaking about a case going to Ikazika Nefisha, where there's a very strong wind. There's a hurricane. And the person said, if this terrible hurricane wind won't uproot these trees, the Mishnah is saying that maybe it should not be a hegdish, because maybe he doesn't really fully intend to make them hegdish, because he's only saying that they should be hegdish because he's certain, because of the impending hurricane, that they're going to be uprooted. So it says they should be hegdish. Had he known that they'll be able to survive, maybe the hegdish, then of course he didn't intend to make it hegdish under those circumstances. And therefore maybe it's considered false pretenses, the subject of our perek, that maybe it should be considered hegdish. Teaches us the Mishnah that it is still going to be hegdish. Says the Gemara, that v'ok tani lo, and I could prove this is the right pshat of the Mishnah based on what we learned regarding talus. The Mishnah said that this person announced talazu carbon emein nisrefes. So the halacha is that it's hegdish, the Mishnah says, and it can be redeemed. Now by talus is reifa kaima. There's a talus going to get burned. You can't say that talus is referring to a situation that's going to get burned. So how did he connect the talus is hegdish to getting burned? In, says the Gemara, yes. What is the case? Kivan the going to ika the leika. There's a terrible fire. Hachinami, so we could say, Dikin Zika Nefisha, that there's a terrible hurricane. And Sakadat, I mean, and therefore we would think, Sakadat, Sakadat, Loy Mislan, he's certain that they will not be able to survive. The fire will certainly burn the talus. The wind will certainly uproot the tree. And therefore, he made a nether, and therefore it should be considered a nidre shkagas, because he didn't really mean to make it kadosh. He only did it because of this situation. Kamash Malon, that teaches us the Mishnah, that because he expressed that they should become hegdish, even what he thought is going to happen, Baruch Hashem, didn't happen. He expressed a neder, and therefore it's not considered a neder Ishkogis, and they are Hegdish.